Welcome to Fit to Be Tied on this Sunday afternoon with Whitney and John. We are glad you guys are listening and hope that you've had a wonderful week.
Lots of things that have been happening around campus all weekend. Lots of athletic events. And on our last show, we talked about springtime getting here and all these spring events getting here. And as soon as I said that, the weather turned cold and we had I think it was a Groundhog Day type of thing. I don't know.
Something.
I don't know if I saw my shadow or didn't see my shadow or what happened. But either way, it turned off cold and it wasn't very springy feeling. But it's looking like things are kind of picking up a little bit. And maybe now we're about to get into some actual spring sports and some spring weather.
Hopefully. And with spring break right around the corner, we've got some really cool topics to talk about this week. Because we know you guys have been trying to get back into shape. It's been cold. It's been hot. It's hard to figure out where I'm going to work out. Am I going to go to the rec? Is it super crowded? Am I going to go outside? And so it's those, you know, couple of weeks before spring break. So you're probably going to start hitting the gym pretty hard. So we're going to talk to you about some ways to prevent injury.
Yeah, and over this next couple of weeks between this week where we're going to talk about trying to prevent injuries and doing everything that we can to keep those from happening, next week we're going to spend a little time talking about how to lose body weight, body fat effectively and safely, and do that in a manner that is not dangerous, that is something that we see oh so often at the rec center. And we're actually going to have a special guest on here with us later who is going to talk to us about some injuries that she sees at the rec center a lot. And with spring break coming up, one of those things that we see is a lot of overexercise. And I'm sure you probably see that in a lot of your classes, Whitney.
A lot of overexercise and a lot of something that Sheena will touch on as well. Not eating right, not hydrating properly like they should, just because we have that mindset of what we need to do to get ready for spring break, wherever we may be going. So, yeah, definitely talking about some injuries that may happen, how you can prevent those injuries, and then if you do get injured, how to get well again so that you can work out.
Yeah, I mean, it's between everybody starting their New Year's resolutions and going through all that and just starting to get over the soreness, a lot of people stop working out and then they realize that spring break's right around the corner. And then we have another influx of patrons. And I've worked at other facilities besides the Student Recreation Center right over the years. And it happens everywhere. You see people come in 2 to 3 weeks before spring break and they want to try to hit it hard. Everybody's on a bench press every day of every week leading into spring break, getting ready to go to the beach. Between that and abs, which we'll hit on a little bit later too. And so we have a lot of those just kind of random injuries that we don't have throughout the year. In addition to, I don't know if overtraining is technically the correct word if you're not conditioned well enough to start training, right. But maybe just going at it too hard initially. And so lots of good things to talk about, lots of good things that we're going to get into today. And what we try to do at University Recreation, and we're going to take a kind of a comprehensive look at it. We're going to look at how we try to prevent injuries. Then we're going to look at, you know, if an injury does occur, what are the steps that we can take to help get our athletes, our patrons, back into action as quick as possible. So between nutrition, athletic training, physical therapy, and all of those things, I think we can give a pretty good comprehensive evaluation of what you should do to stay as safe as possible.
Right. And just kind of looking at even moving through the summer as well, maybe if your goal is not spring break, and that's not something that really concerns you, but maybe summer, you know, it's not that far off. That's something that's concerning you. Or maybe you have a goal, like we've been talking about, you're trying to meet. So finding ways to prevent injury is our topic today. So hang tight. We'll be back. And you're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And today we are going to be discussing athletic injuries, trying to prevent accidents, prevent injuries, and those types of things in the exercise environment, exercise facility. And I guess taking an overall comprehensive view of this, really one of the things that we need to look at is and one of the things that drives this entire thing is, what is the exercise environment? You know, for a lot of people, that's outside. It could be running outside, and you're looking at the potential for injuries if you're running at night, if you're not running in well-lit areas, if you're running in dangerous places. I've turned my ankle over on many a sidewalk running on campus around here. So things like that happen. You just need to be aware of your environment. And regardless of what type of facility you're in, you might be working out in a hospital-based facility. You might be working out in a privately owned facility, in a campus rec facility, like most of you students probably are. And the goal of any facility, Whitney, wouldn't you say, is to provide as safe and effective of an environment as possible?
Definitely, definitely. And specifically, I know in classes, just in group exercise or group fitness classes, one of the main goals that we focus on is creating that safe environment for everybody. So, you know, teaching to different levels and even trainers as well, no matter what facility that you go to, that trainers can be equipped with the knowledge to give you modifications, make it as safe as possible.
Yeah, and, you know, even when you start looking at it, like, there are different types of facilities out there. We've discussed CrossFit, and there are different types of goals of different types of facilities that are out there. There are kickboxing facilities or boxing right. facilities around. And the type of facility that's out there is kind of driven by its purpose, the safety features that are incorporated in that facility. Those guidelines are kind of regulated by the industry guidelines of that specific sport or whatever it is that you're working on. And then when you get even into a place as, I'm going to say, as complex and complicated as university recreation, we have 8 or 9 different areas with so many
right.
different potential injuries that could occur.
Yeah. And it can range from, you know, rock climbing, falling, God forbid someone fall, but personal training, you know, with weights or even intramurals. There's a lot of ways you can get injured out there. So we just definitely want to make sure everybody's safe.
Yeah. And, you know, like I was saying, the goal is to provide as controlled and as safe of an environment as possible. And we all know, if you don't know, you should know, that with exercise comes risk.
Right.
You get your heart rate up, you get your blood pressure up, all of those things that induce stress within the body are increasing your risk for a cardiovascular event,
right.
A stroke, or anything like that. Now, you have to weigh the risk and benefits, and there mm-hmm. are so many more benefits of exercising for most people, and we're going to get into that in just a little bit. But, you know, it is important that when you're choosing where you're going to work out, whether it's outside, what type of facility it is, that you are aware of how safe that facility is in terms of following the guidelines that they should be following, and making sure that the facility in itself is safe, equipment and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And also, you know, looking at the registration process or the paperwork that you have to fill out when you do join a facility or you do get a personal trainer or whatever it may be, looking at Park U form. I know we were going to talk a little bit about that and maybe liability waivers. I mean, if you walk into a personal training studio and you don't sign a waiver or a Park U form, I mean, there may be some questioning. So,
right. And when we start, most any facility that's out there is going to require you to complete mm-hmm. a Park U, a physical activity readiness questionnaire. And basically what that form is 7 or 8 questions. And all of those forms, all of those questions generally relate to cardiac related events, the potential for balance issues, and there might be an orthopedic question
right.
on there as well. And so that questionnaire is designed to kind of not necessarily weed people out, but make them aware of what their limitations are and perhaps should they see a physician. Because if you're answering a Park U correctly, if you answer yes to any of those questions, you should get a physician's
right.
Release before you start to work out. And then you mentioned going into maybe a little bit more in depth, you know, a health history questionnaire, mm-hmm. things like that.
Definitely, especially, you know, like I said, like if you're going to have a trainer. But one thing that we always focus on, and this is just something for you guys to think about when you're doing your own workouts, you always want to warm up. It doesn't matter what you do. You always want to do some type of warm up to get blood flow, moving to the muscle groups that you're going to be working out. So I know a lot of times people are short on time, we've mentioned before, and they'll jump straight into the weight room or go straight upstairs and just hit the machines. And you can really get injured with not warming up. And that's one of the reasons why in our classes specifically, we don't let participants in 10 minutes after a class has started because it's dangerous. We've gone through all the warm up, the dynamic movement, stretching, limbering exercises to get the heart rate up, to get blood flow to the muscles. And every type of exercise needs some type of warm up, even yoga, even Pilates, the slower forms of working out.
Yeah. And I'm not sure exactly how your take on it is, Whitney, but when I look at avoiding injuries and that type of warm up, a lot of times you'll see people go out before they start running or whatever they're doing, and they just, very cold, they go into stretching.
Right.
And what the research has shown out there is that there really is no risk reduction by stretching prior mm-hmm. to starting an exercise.
Right.
What you want to do is what we call a systemic warm up, mm-hmm. where you gradually increase your core temperature. And once you do that, you get those muscles warmed up and get that blood flowing. We like to recommend some dynamic stretching, mm-hmm. some movement stretching.
Yes.
And not just that entire static stretch and hold type thing.
Right.
We want people moving while they're doing it. And another thing that I like to recommend is that they do a movement-specific warm-up. If you're going to do a bench press, you know, you do your warm-up set for the bench press.
Right.
You want those muscles firing in the correct order, and that can mess things up as well, too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think you cover all of your bases in terms of reducing injury risk when it comes to warm up, if you do those things.
Yeah, and also warm up, not just because you're getting blood flow to the muscles to reduce injury or the risk of injury, but just the mind awareness of what you're actually doing. Because if I'm going to go to a bench press with 100 pounds, which I can't do, probably will never be able to do, but I'm okay with that. But if I'm going to do a bench press, 100 pounds or more, whatever, and I just jump on the bench and just start moving, I'm going to hurt myself and I'm not going to have the connection of what I'm actually doing in my mind. So just moving through the motions, getting that connection. Most of the time we're sitting in our desk all day long or we're doing schoolwork, so we need to wake up our minds a little bit.
Right. And jumping into some other things as well, in addition to just warming up, some things that I was thinking too, you want to be working out in a facility that is adequately staffed in
right.
case you incur an injury,
CPR. Some type of
CPR.
Yeah, AED.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there are accidents, there are cardiac events that we mentioned earlier, so you want a staff that's adequately prepared for that. You want equipment that's adequately maintained.
Right.
Which I think is one of the things that we do a great job at University Recreation with the staff that we have. Mm-hmm. They do an excellent job with that sort of thing. You also have another thing that you really need to be aware of is in a crowded facility, other patrons around you
exactly.
and what they're doing and not knowing what they might do. We see that happen so many times, somebody walking by and
right.
get hit by with a bar.
And I kind of feel like mirrors are a great thing to have to look at form, but I feel like sometimes they can be a bad thing in the sense that somebody can be really checking out their form and not see somebody, or maybe they're taking selfies in front of the mirror. I don't know, either way. But they could hurt somebody if they're not paying attention.
They could hurt somebody, but I have never seen a mirror that I didn't like.
Well, there you have it.
Enough of that. So we're going to wrap that session up and take a quick break. And when we come back, we will be back with Jennifer Brown from Dreher Sports Medicine. And we're going to ask her some specific questions about dealing with injuries and accidents and things like that once they occur.
Yeah, so tune in and we'll be back shortly. This is Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
This is AC.
I'm Burnham.
I'm Davis.
This is Casey.
And I'm Josh, and we're Mother Funk. You're listening to 90.7 The Capstone. Stay funky, Tuscaloosa.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John, and we are on with our special guest today, Miss Jennifer Brown, who is a certified athletic trainer from Dreher Sports Medicine. And Jennifer runs the clinic that is in the Student Recreation Center. And so we have a good working relationship with Jennifer, and we thought we would bring her on and ask her some specific questions today related to injuries that we see a lot at the rec center. And with that being said, Jennifer, what would you say in your experience, in your time at the Student Rec Center, working with college students, what student-related injuries do you think are probably the most common in our facility?
Yeah, so first of all, thanks for having me on. I'm happy to be here. Since we've been here, we actually moved in October. And since we've been in since October, a lot of the things that we tend to see are ankle sprains, some repetitive shoulder injuries from people that have overused in ways that they didn't even know they could overuse. And then also we see some that, like you guys mentioned earlier, not getting the right nutrition, not eating enough or drinking enough before coming to do exercise, and then they get lightheaded, pass out. So we do see some of that. And then we even see some of the really hardcore injuries from intramurals and club sports where people break things or hit their heads and get cuts and bruises and all that good stuff. So.
Yeah, well, would you say that you've seen certain patterns of increased injury, like certain things that happen? I know you said sprained ankles, things like that, but is there a pattern to that?
Yeah, definitely. When it comes to the exercise-related stuff, we notice it, for some of our overuse injuries, as people that tend to do repetitive exercises over a long period of time, and they don't tend to take a break when they need to, or and when I say take a break, I don't mean like after every exercise. I mean like do biceps one day, do back the next day, you know, and split those exercises up. And so they're overloading the muscle system. And so a lot of times we'll see shin splints from running too much and not doing the proper stretching. And things like that. So a lot of times what we like to encourage people to do is, like you talked about with a warm-up, we also want to incorporate that warm-up into how much exercise you're going to do. So if you're going to be doing some heavy lifting down the road, we don't want to start with that heavy lifting on the first day. You want to gradually move into that. And that will help prevent some of those overuse injuries. So like with running, don't just start out running 10 miles. You want to start out running a little bit, maybe doing a run-walk combination, and then bump up that mileage as you go.
Right. Yeah. Well, you mentioned that about training too much, mm-hmm. and then you get people who haven't worked out a lot, and they come in and they get that soreness initially. And could you give some advice maybe on one of the advantages, maybe I should back up a little bit. One of the advantages to working out at the Student Recreation Center is that people have access to come in to see you to get an evaluation if they're injured or think they might be injured. Or that sort of thing. My question for you is, at what point should they come in to be evaluated? Definitely. People have soreness and injuries all the time.
Yeah, so we kind of look at it from two different ways. So we're there, we've got three full-time certified athletic trainers. There's myself and two others. And what we like to recommend is there's two ways. So if you get injured, come see us right after you get injured. Don't wait. Just come into the clinic. We've got walk-in hours, what we call peak hour coverage, where you can come in. We can take a look at the injury right after it's happened. Decide if you need to see a doctor or not. If so, we've got ways of getting you in to see those doctors, and then they will decide if you need further treatment and then send back if needed. But the other one is, if you've had a nagging injury, like your shoulder just seems to keep bothering you, you notice it when you're sleeping, you notice it when you go to reach up into the cabinet for something, and you think it's probably exercise induced, or even if it's not, if it's just been nagging, come see us. A lot of times we can give you what we call a home exercise program, and it's things that you can do on your own. You don't have to actually stay in our clinic to do, but it would help you get a little bit stronger and maybe help out with some of those aches and pains. And then we also have modality units that we can use. Our athletic training services are free. You come in, we check you out, see what you need, make those decisions, and then refer out if needed. And if not, we'll get you that home exercise program and get you right back out the door.
Awesome. Well, that kind of leads me into my next question, Jennifer. So what are some common types of treatment that a student, patron that they may expect to receive when they come to see you?
Definitely. So first we'll start out with an evaluation, see what's going on. After we've made a decision on what's going on, then there's a lot of options we have at our clinic. So we've got where we can do basic stretching exercises where we actually, the athletic trainer or one of our physical therapists actually goes through a stretching routine with you, where it's a little more hands-on. Or we've got foam roller accessibility. If you just want to roll it out, you can come in and use one of our foam rollers. We also have modalities in terms of electrical stimulation, ultrasound, and those type things. We have the moist heat packs, cold packs, and one of our new favorite things is what we call our biocryosystem. If you've ever heard of a game ready that a lot of the athletics teams use, we've got a version of that, but instead of using actual ice and water in the unit, it's cold packs that stay in the freezer, but it still does a compression component. So we move those ice packs to the compression unit, whether it be for the ankle, the shoulder, forearm, but we've got attachments for all kinds of different body parts, and that way you get cold and compression that can help out with swelling. If you had a pretty significant injury which created a lot of swelling, we can help get rid of that too.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And you know, one of the things that we mentioned earlier was the ability to just kind of walk in and be evaluated by you as an athletic trainer or your staff. And we were talking earlier, my wife being a physical therapist for a number of years, and I know one of the issues that has gone back and forth is do patients have the ability to just walk into a physical therapy clinic and receive treatment without seeing a physician first? I know things have kind of gone back and forth over the years, and I don't know if they've changed that or not changed that, but where does that stand? If somebody just walks, you know, wants to walk in off the street, they're not a patron of ours, but they need to be seen by you guys. Do they need to see a physician first prior to coming to see you?
Definitely. There's two ways we look at it. So if you're just coming to see what's going on with your injury, definitely come in. One of our athletic trainers can take a look at you and decide if you need to be referred out to a physician and help get that started. If it's that you've already been diagnosed with an injury by a physician and they want you to do some physical therapy, then to see our physical therapist, you have to have an actual written script. So it's kind of twofold. We have the free service of the athletic trainers where you can come in, we can see what's going on if you don't already know, and then help get you in to see an ortho, a general practitioner, doctor, lots of different avenues we can go with that. And even if we've had someone come in before that was having heart issues, and we referred them to a general practitioner who then led on to referring out from there. So, you know, there's a lot of options. We can start that for you. And even if you know that you need physical therapy, we can set you up with a physician to help get that script and get you sent right back so that we can get that process started. And then that part would be with our physical therapist and not with our athletic trainers.
Right. And I can't tell you how fortunate I feel like we are. When I started working in this industry a while back, probably 15 years ago, this sort of thing didn't exist and just started coming into play. And I think we have such a great model set up, and I think it's great that our students be aware of what they have access to.
Yeah.
Because there are some schools out there, and through their campus rec, they have access to this sort of thing. But for the most part, they don't. And the model that we have set up is a great model, and it has worked well for us so far. And we've been able to serve a lot of people who have been injured working out in our facilities over the years.
Definitely. That's, you know, we're happy to be a part of it. We like to think that we stand out because we don't want to turn anybody away. If somebody needs to be looked at, if they've been injured, or even if they need physical therapy and don't think they can afford it, still call our office. I mean, we try not to turn people away, no matter what the situation may be. We try to, you know, really stick to that. It's part of our core values as a company, and it's something that we take a lot of pride in. And that translates not just to our patients, but to our employees. We try to be really committed to them as well, about a balance between work and actually getting out of work and being involved in the community. Sometimes you'll probably see us out at the baseball games or softball games or stuff like that. So enjoy that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, and that kind of leads me to this last question, and then we'll just kind of wrap up. What specifically makes you guys unique?
I definitely think, like I said, we make a commitment to both our patients and our employees. And the commitment to the patients is that if you need care, we're not going to turn you away. And we're also going to give you access to 24 hours, an appointment within 24 hours. If you've had surgery, we want you in the next day so that we can go ahead and get started if that's what your surgeon wants, you know. Mm-hmm. So access to care. And then also to our employees, that balance between work and family, and then also faith and making sure that Everybody stays healthy mentally, physically, and all those good things. And that's for all of us.
That's awesome, Jennifer. Well, thank you so much for being with us today. And we're going to be back with a little bit more stuff on Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John. We're continuing our conversation this afternoon on athletic injuries, and this is the section where we like to bring in our registered dietitian, Machina Gregg, who is going to discuss some nutrition-related issues as it relates to injuries and recovering from injuries and things like that. So welcome, Sheena.
Awesome. Thank you, John. And I am just really pumped that you guys are talking about this. When I see patients over at the Student Health Center, there's definitely a variety of reasons. Of course, this time of year, weight management and people getting ready for spring break. But then there's also the issue with what should I eat when I'm in rehab from an energy. And so I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about that this afternoon. And most athletes don't realize that sometimes this rehab point in their athletic career or whatever time span is going on can sometimes be the most important because there's so many different factors that are involved. I think when we're injured, there's this perception that nutrition isn't as important. We don't need to be eating as much because we're not as active. But the main point that we really need to realize is that our body needs a certain group of nutrients, whether it's macronutrients or micronutrients, to really facilitate that healing process. So I've really enjoyed today's conversation. And one of the biggest questions that I typically get from students is what vitamins and minerals are most important for injury rehab. And I think it's important to note that really your vitamin and mineral content is needed in a very specific amount to be able to support and promote healing. I was able to pull some information earlier today just on the typical vitamins and minerals that we like our athletes to focus on the most when it comes to those micronutrients. One of the first ones that we think of when we think of injury healing is going to be calcium. Of course, with our bones, you know, we think about bone healing. So when you think about those sources of calcium, we think of milk, we think of yogurt, cheese, calcium fortified juices, bread, cereals, salmon. And another source of calcium that folks may not realize is spinach and kale. So if you are lactose intolerant, you can also get it from those green leafy veggies. So if you're a salad person, awesome, you're going to get some calcium that way. And when you think about the amount of calcium that you need, about 1500 milligrams is going to be a really great starting point for you. And getting about 4 to 5 servings of those sources that we listed, whether it's more of your dairy-based foods or that kale or spinach we talked about, and then also with the salmon, if that is something that you incorporate in your diet on a typical basis. And then, of course, we have those great products that are fortified, whether it's juices, breads, or cereals. Another vitamin and mineral that goes hand in hand with calcium is vitamin D. You tend to see those go together when you start talking about some of those bigger mineral components. And so when we think about vitamin D, those are also going to be in dairy products as well. So we think about milk. We also think about eggs. There are some sources of fish that have vitamin D, and vitamin D is also made in the skin from exposure to sunlight, so making sure that you're getting adequate exposure to the sun, that may promote you going outside, doing some rehab activities with your physical therapist, doing some light walking, so you may also be getting that vitamin D content in there as well. And it's about 1,000 international units or IUs that you typically want to aim for. Another vitamin that comes to mind as well is vitamin K, and you're going to get that again from your green leafy veggies. So if you're getting that spinach and kale for that calcium, you're probably going to be getting some vitamin K at the same time. Vitamin K is also in eggs and cereal. Running down the list some more, we've got magnesium, and that's going to be in nuts, your green veggies, beans, and whole grains. And then also some more obvious choices are going to be vitamin C, vitamin A, and zinc. And when you think about vitamin C, vitamin A, and zinc, a lot of them come from very similar sources, whether it's your citrus fruits, it could be some of your favorite vegetables, whether it's broccoli, red or green peppers. Vitamin A and zinc are going to be found in a lot of your animal-based products, whether it's those dairy products that you're eating to get that calcium, or it could be those eggs that you're also getting that vitamin D. and then that zinc is going to be in those meat products. So when you think about all of these vitamins and minerals, a lot of them are going to be within the same sources. And you may have noticed in that conversation that most of these vitamins and minerals are going to be all across the different food groups. So if you're getting a pretty good variety in your diet and there's not a specific food group that you're missing, it's going to be a pretty good chance that you're hitting these micronutrients, which is really awesome. Next, we want to consider your macronutrients. People say, well, you know, should I prioritize protein? Do I need to prioritize carbs? You know, what about fat? What is that going to look like for me? And so when we think about the most important macronutrient, we really do want to think about protein, because protein is going to be that ingredient that's needed to make new healthy skin, whether it's new healthy muscle or new healthy bone. That's really going to be the building block that's in there. So, you know, if we're thinking old school biology or anatomy class, and you hear people talk about protein being the building block for life, there's so much credibility to that, because we do want to make sure that protein needs are adequately being met when we're eating our nutrition for rehab purposes from a sports injury. We don't want to forget carbs, though. Of course, carbohydrates are going to provide a lot of great energy for whatever sports activity we're doing. Since we may not be as active during this rehab time, we may want to consider lowering our carbs, but you don't want to go completely carb-free. You may have remembered me mentioning in some of our earlier radio shows that carbs are kind of protein's wingman when it comes to just being able to work together and utilize everything. You really need the energy from those carbohydrates to be able to synthesize that protein and use it adequately in the body. So you want to make sure that you're getting those carbs in there. So again, when you think about pre and post workout nutrition, you're going to get that combo of carbs and protein together. And then the last macronutrient that we also want to keep in mind is fat, specifically omega-3 fatty acids. That's going to be really great for any kind of issues with inflammation. It's also going to help with joint health as well. So again, when you start thinking about nutrition for injury rehab, you still want to have that trifecta of getting your carbs, protein, and fat. The portions are just going to be a little bit different. Again, if you are being active in your sport, carbs may be on the forefront just in terms of getting that instant energy. But when we're thinking about synthesizing new cells for our body as we're going into recovery, protein is going to be one of those things that we want to put on the forefront of everything. So we want to keep those things in mind. Another thing that you may want to be keeping in mind as you're going through injury rehab is weight management. Sometimes when we're not as active, our appetite is a little bit different. And if you're an athlete that struggles to keep weight on and you are really struggling to try to make sure that you're eating enough, some of the things that you can do in terms of a nutrition game plan is plan on eating every 2 hours. You could have some small, frequent meals. Those may be easier on your stomach if you're having a smaller appetite. Get the most out of your high protein, high carb beverages. Liquids are a little bit easier to digest. They may not be as filling versus if you were to eat solid foods trying to get nutrition. So feel free to take advantage of any kind of protein shakes, anything along those lines. When you think about smoothies, that can again certainly be a great way to get some injury rehab ingredients in there. So when we think about those micronutrients by getting that kale and spinach in a smoothie, we're hitting all of those food groups there with getting those vegetables in there. If we're trying to get some carbohydrate in there, my husband loves to put raw oatmeal in his smoothie to thicken it up, add a little bit more substance, some fiber that's in there. We can add some protein in there with some protein powder as well as some peanut butter or other type of nut butters. You're going to get some heart healthy fats in there as well. And then we're also going to get hydrated. Staying hydrated through the injury and recovery process is so important, because that water is just needed. You know, we've had so many conversations in the past about why hydration is so important, and there's no exception when we're in injury rehab as well. So make sure that you're staying hydrated with that. If you have any kind of questions with what works best for your schedule, I would definitely get you to consider consulting with a registered dietitian. We have them here at the Student Health Center, and you would get to see me or one of our other staff members. And so you want to keep that in mind whenever you're thinking about that plan, because if you're really not sure where you're planning to start with your nutrition for your recovery process, definitely take advantage of the resources that we have on campus, including dietitians at the Student Health Center. If you're working with any kind of personal trainers at the rec center, they'll be able to give you some general guidance and then guide you into some correct resources on the internet that are going to be able to give you some helpful advice as well. But again, you're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John, and we've been talking about injury rehab and nutrition, and this has been Sheena Soundbites, and we will catch you after the break.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
And welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we have had an awesome show with Jennifer Brown, with Dreyer. And we've just been learning about how to prevent injury, how to take care of injury, especially around this time of year when people tend to push themselves through exercise. So I think we had a pretty good show.
Yeah, we have. And we like to end our show with kind of leading into our next show's topics with some frequently asked questions that we get around university recreation. And with spring break just around the corner, we thought we would throw out some of those questions that we get related to spring break. So I'll throw this out to you first, Whitney.
Okay.
We obviously, a lot of people come in wanting to lose weight. In the weeks leading up to, but a lot of times the week or two leading up to spring break. What kind of exercises would you say are the most effective at weight loss?
I would say definitely looking at what you're doing for cardio. If you're not doing any cardio, for sure, getting some cardio in, at least going back to those guidelines like we talked about before, at least getting 30 minutes a day. I mean, if you're starting an exercise program, you're not really going to want to push it too much, again, trying to avoid getting injured. But I tend to pick more I like overall body weight type exercises. I pick exercises that I'm going to use a lot of muscle groups. I'm not just going to focus on doing just bicep curls. I may combine the exercise, bicep curls, with a lunge or a squat, get the most out of it. But again, starting, you know, kind of light if you're just starting working out before spring break, which you should have probably started a couple months ago. But
yeah, and that's, you know, going back to the safety and the injury thing that we've been talking about all day, that's one of the things that we want to really, really emphasize with this. You're not going to come in and lose a significant amount of weight safely in
right.
a week or two. We know that combining cardiovascular exercise with a good diet nutrition plan is the way to go, but when we have people come in and overtrain, overexercise in short periods of time, trying to lose a lot of weight really fast, that's when we have a lot of injuries occur.
Yeah, and I think we kind of need to get out of this mindset that 2 weeks before or a week before we're going to look or feel ideal, that the feeling that we want to feel, like losing weight, losing 10 pounds, whatever your goal is. So I think first getting past that, and if you're looking to start losing weight before spring break, you really only have 2 weeks. So we might need to think more realistically.
And I would say thinking more realistically would be thinking about maybe spring break of next year.
I mean, honestly, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you think about the amount of weight that a lot of people come in wanting to lose, you think about how long it takes you to gain, how many years it takes you to gain that amount of weight. And people come in and expect to lose it in a matter of weeks or months. And it just doesn't happen that way.
No, it doesn't. And I think a lot of times, we did talk about this a little last week, we have infomercials, we have all these sources out there that tell us you can look like this, you can, you know, lose this much amount of weight in this amount of time. And it's just not realistic. So, yeah, I think that's true. If you want to lose weight, maybe the amount that you want to lose, 30, 50 pounds, I mean, there's some big numbers out there. Look at it over a broader span of time.
Right. And we did mention earlier, coming in, making sure that your body is prepared by maybe perhaps filling out a PAR-Q, getting a physician's release. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, you know, with a PAR-Q, if somebody answers yes to one of those questions, you know, they're referred to a physician. The physician might say, yeah, it's okay to work out, but we need you to keep your heart rate below a certain amount, or we need you to avoid certain exercises. And as a training staff, group exercise staff, we try to accommodate we do accommodate those limitations that the physicians give us.
Right. And then kind of going back to what Sheena was talking about earlier, just making sure you're hydrating yourself and eating properly. And she touched on that, about how that can be some risk when we're not eating properly going to work out. So yeah, just all the above.
Yeah. But when I think you make a great point. When you talk about doing cardiovascular exercise, if we're talking about weight loss and straight up weight loss and nothing else, what you mentioned earlier, I don't think could be any more spot on than the way you said it. The more muscle groups you use, the more the larger the muscle groups that you use, the more calories that you're going to burn.
Right. So like I said, combining exercises, making the most of your time when you come to the gym. But then again, being realistic that a week before spring break, 2 weeks, or wherever your goal is, you need more time to meet these goals.
Right. And one of the things that I'm going to throw out there, too, we talk about the different types of exercise. Cardiovascular being the most effective at probably overall weight loss, caloric expenditure. Strength training plays a role. It's more of a long-term role because you're gonna have to build muscle.
Right And also thinking about when people do start strength training, it is frustrating that maybe the scales don't show that you are losing weight, but you feel like you're losing weight and your clothes feel a little bit better, things kind of start to shift around. So not getting discouraged, thinking about staying with your goal and know that you're on the right track.
Yeah, and I've mentioned it before. So many of the clients that I've worked with over the years, and for some reason, especially female clients, they come in, they follow a good workout plan, they follow a good nutrition plan, and I can just about guarantee you at the end of the month, they will have gained 2 to 3 pounds.
Definitely.
But they will have lost body fat percentage, which is what we're looking for.
Right, and I think, and that's something that we're going to touch on next week more is losing weight effectively and maybe how to measure that in a better way instead of the scales, because the scales don't always tell us what we need to know and they can play with our mind a little bit. So that's kind of something we're going to bring up next week.
Yeah,
for sure.
And I think we would be remiss if we didn't mention the other component of a good fitness plan. We always talk about flexibility.
Right.
And how does flexibility fit into weight loss? The first and most obvious answer to that, the knee-jerk answer to that, is it doesn't.
Right.
But it plays such a supportive role.
It does, especially with the injury prevention. Stretch, stay flexible, so that you don't get injured, so that you can keep reaching that goal.
Yeah. So when's the best time to stretch, would you say?
Honestly, you need to probably, to get a good stretch, your muscles have got to be nice and warm. So really, your cool down phase is a great time to really get stretched out. So if you're in your warm up phase, I always say do some limbering movement, dynamic stretching, where we're not just holding an exercise. You've got kind of the dynamic pace of it, moving around a little bit, and then taking the time at the end of your workout. And so many people forget to do that, and it's so important.
Yeah, it really is. So basically, any time after those muscles are good and warmed up, but the ideal time is when you're cooling down and you're bringing your heart rate down, but your muscles are still good and warmed.
Yeah, don't forget your cool down. It's just as important as the warm up.
It's just as important as the warm up. Last question that I'll throw out there for us today, Whitney, is, and it's one, I'm not going to say it's a frequently asked question, but it's something that we see in the gym all the time.
Yes.
And I mentioned that people getting on the bench press all the time, people doing cardio all the time leading into spring break.
Right.
The one exercise that we see people doing so often as we walk through our weight room, and I'm going to try to describe this as best I can. This is people just standing straight up, holding a dumbbell in each hand, and just kind of leaning side to side.
Right.
Or doing some type of movement where they're on an ab board, like they're going to do a crunch, and they're twisting side to side.
Right.
What's your take on that?
I think that there are some really good benefits if you're doing it the correct way. Right. And if you know why you're doing it. Anytime you're doing core work and you're dealing with the spine and you don't have proper alignment, you're not engaging the right muscles, you can really hurt yourself. And so specifically that side bending movement, I know a lot of people say, I'm working my obliques. Well, there's some muscle stabilization going on there, but that side bending, that can actually be kind of dangerous, especially if you're going to hold a really heavy weight and just drop down to the side. I'm not going to say it's maybe the most effective exercise for someone that's trying to increase their core strength, especially if they're brand new to this. But I think a lot of people think it's going to make them skinnier, quote unquote.
Right.
Is that kind of what you think too?
Yeah, I see, it seems like people are doing that because they want the smaller waist. And,
yeah.
And you mentioned people doing that movement or those types of movement with a heavy weight. And
right.
You think about, you're lifting a heavy weight, what are you doing? You're building muscle. So if you want
sure,
to build those
yeah.
muscles and make those obliques thicker, mm-hmm. you're looking at potentially making your midsection thicker if you do that over a period of time.
It's very true. So before you do any type of exercise that you see other people do in the weight room, just make sure you know what it's for, what its purpose is, so that you don't get hurt and you just are overall safe. But yeah, you guys have been great. Thanks for listening in. We'll be back next week. This is Fit to be Tied with Whitney and John on 90.7 The Capstone.